before that.
Yeah.
How like that runs, you know the deal. But yeah.
Because the game before is Richmond.
I believe Richmond. And
Muncie Central, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I couldn't tell you who's before, but.
Yeah. All we know is that we play at 7:30.
Against Greenfield Central.
Yes.
At Muncie Central.
And that is mainly what we care about. But a little rundown of previous winter sports, girls basketball. We talked about this last week. They unfortunately fell to Lawrence North.
The state champion, Lawrence North.
Yeah, they did end up beating Warsaw on Saturday, which is pretty cool to see.
I mean, I guess that like makes the loss a little less insult to injury just because it's like, you know, oh, well, we lost, but at least it was to the state champs. Like, yeah. You know how in football, we lost, like, yeah. Football lost to New Pal, they won state. Like,
yeah, that's insane. And this could be the third team to lose to the state champs. Greenfield.
I don't see Greenfield winning state.
I don't know. I think it's a toss-up between Greenfield, Lawrence Central, Lawrence North, and Fishers. Those four.
Nobody can knock off. Until somebody knocks off, like, has even come close to beating Fishers.
I know.
Like, close to beating them, like, takes them to overtime. I don't see them.
Well, I mean, Greenfield came close to beating them. It's like 5 points.
Yeah, but like...
4 points.
Yeah, but I think it's Fisher's year.
Fisher's is nationally 24-0. They haven't lost a home game in...
Or a road
two
game.
Years.
In two... yeah, no.
They
like,
didn't lose a home game last year, I don't think.
Yeah, they're not... Yeah, they're winning state. Like, they're highly ranked...
It's not even that they're like really tall.
They're just good.
They're really good. Like, they're two guards, Cooper Zachary and Jason Gardner. They both broke the assist record in a single season. And they both did that this year. Cooper Zachary has like 130. Jason Gardner also has like 130.
Yeah, see, it's their year. But
half of the total team's assists.
Yeah. Honestly, Pendleton, for the boys, they have such a tough sectional. I mean, it got easier this year, but not by much.
Yeah.
New Pal left.
But
4A.
Then we pulled Greenfield Central.
But yeah, I mean, there's still Greenfield Central, 20 wins.
Yeah.
Anderson, 20 wins. Mm-hmm. Mount Vernon, 17 plus. You know, and we lost to Muncie Central.
Muncie Central's a really fast team.
Yeah, they're good ball pressure. I mean, Jackson Johnson at 24.
I mean, they lost to Anderson by 2.
Yeah, like, It's just Muncie Central's kind of an inconsistent team.
Yeah, they're a really good team in really big games.
Yeah.
But then it comes to like the smaller games against like sort of a smaller school, and it's like they don't compete like they do against like an Anderson or a Greenfield.
Right. I'd say, boys, it's going to be a tough road, but I say if they work hard, especially since Cooper is in a great stride, had 30 in their last game against Centerville to close out the regular season. I think they're hitting their stride pretty well right now.
Yeah.
So they could close out. They could go into sectionals and make some noise. They could probably give Greenfield a run for their money as long as, you know, Cooper stays on the court as much as he can and, you know, plays like he did at Centerville, like knocking down three after three. Like, he played great. But I think the boys could definitely, they could rock the boat a little bit. You know, obviously girls is wrapped up. Swimming. I don't know much about.
We don't have very much stats on swimming.
Yeah, I don't really know how you keep stats.
But really, all we know is that Carmel won both boys and girls state.
Yeah, I know. I will say this: I have a family friend with a couple freshmen on the swim team. I know one of them placed 7th at sectionals. I'm pretty sure we sent a couple to regionals, but outside of that,
I think there was like 4 girls that went to regionals. And like, yeah. 2 boys.
Yeah, I think the swim team, they had a solid season, sent a couple to regionals. So overall, I think they had a pretty good winter season. Mm-hmm. Wrestling, we know how that went. Maddie Marsh won first official IHSA state championship.
We sent 4 boys to semi-state.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, they all lost.
Yeah, they did. But you know, one of them was a sophomore, Max Garner.
One was a junior and Turner Seal.
Mm-hmm. And the other two were seniors. So
Jackson Gibson and Alex Heineman.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, obviously it's kind of a good close to their careers for Heineman and
Gibson.
But, you know, Seal as a junior making it, pretty good. Garner, though.
As a sophomore. Really good.
I mean, he, like, and I guess in regionals, he upset.
Yeah, he was down, like, I think it was 1-8.
And he pinned back and he pinned the kid.
Yeah.
Down 8-1. And this kid was a senior. Like, he ended the kid's season. So Max Garner, he's a tough wrestler. He's a tough dude. Plays football.
Plays rugby,
wrestles. I mean, he's a tough athlete. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do, you know, even next year as a junior.
Yeah.
And also getting stronger. I mean,
there's also like other people like Tyrese Covington. He went to regionals.
Yeah. I mean, there's youth there, you know.
There was a lot of sophomores, I'm pretty sure, went to regionals.
Yeah. Well, the team was young this year. Coach Cloud's got himself a new wave of good wrestlers coming in. Obviously, he'll have middle school wrestlers coming in next year. But, you know, he's got a young team this year. He'll have some senior leadership next year with the junior class he had this year. You know, I believe Seal will be a senior. Jax Flynn, I believe he'll be a senior next year. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got the right amount of youth and the right amount of experience for the team next year.
Yep. And also the upcoming freshmen as well. They showed pretty good light in the JV. I don't think a freshman was on varsity, though.
No.
I don't think.
I don't believe so, unless they were the heavyweight. Well, no, it's Covington.
Tyrese Covington was the heavyweight.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, he's got used in the JV that he can use. As long as they showed promise, that's all right. I know there's a sophomore. I think his name's like, Caden Coppage. I know he was on the JV, but he was behind like Alex Heineman and Elijah Wolf. Like, he was behind the best wrestlers, some of the best wrestlers on the team.
Yeah.
So it was going to be hard for him to make varsity, but I know he's skilled. So I think Coach Cloud's got a pretty solid setup for next year, especially with this offseason that they're going into.
Yeah. Well, that will about wrap up the time of our first segment of this Coach's Show. Stay tuned for the rest of it. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for the 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone number 765-221-5900. Online at drdanawright.com.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at bendellawnequip.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside head coach of the Arabian boys basketball team, Coach Buck. How's your day going?
Another great day. How about yours?
Mine's going well. Thanks for asking. All right, getting straight into it today, this week you have one game ahead of you and it's sectionals against Greenfield Central. That one will take place at Muncie Central. This is a tough game. Of course, Greenfield Central is ranked really high in the state. You know, you've been coaching at Pendleton Heights for a long time. Can you ever compare a situation to this where your back has just been against the ropes?
Well, we've had some tough draws during sectional time and we've played some opponents that were favored, but I can't think of one that was favored as highly as what Greenfield is. You mentioned their ranking in the IBCA code, the basketball coaches poll. They're ranked second in the state. They've been ranked in the top five all year long and deservedly so. They almost beat Fishers in the Hall of Fame tournament over Christmas. They have proven that they're worthy of a top five ranking. So, yes, we know that we have a huge challenge ahead of us, but you know I talked earlier that the coaching staff would prepare with the idea of being able to upset Greenfield. And that's the only way I know how to coach. And I'm proud of my coaching staff. They feel the same way. And I said, I hope that I had players that felt that way. And I'm happy to report that practices that we've had ever since we played Centerville on Wednesday night have been extremely positive. In fact, the players were very upbeat, maybe even played with a little more pep in their step, so to speak. And that tells me that they feel like that they can win. They understand what they're up against, but they've been willing to prepare. They've been very focused, and have had some great practices. So we look forward to that challenge. We've talked about how Greenfield has all the pressure in the world on them. We don't have any pressure on us. They need to win. They've not been able to get with this great class that they have, they have not been able to get a sectional championship, and this is their last opportunity for their seniors. So that puts a lot of pressure on a young basketball player.
Well, Coach, my next question was, you know, how's the team feeling? This is a discouraging matchup. You know, they kind of, everyone's writing you off. And that is great to hear that the team feels the way they do. Is there a particular reason for that? I would feel like you as a coach might have to talk them into that mindset. But you've made it clear you didn't have to do that.
That's a competitor. That's why I could speak to my coaching staff and myself. That the only way we knew how to prepare was to win. And if you're prepared for a contest, then obviously you should feel like you have an opportunity to win. Yes, things have to go well. You have to be at the top of your game in all areas, on both ends of the court, on every possession. We've talked to our players throughout the year, but particularly now, every possession is important. You must remain mentally focused at all times. You can't get too high and you can't get too low. Say you take a lead. You cannot lose focus and over-celebrate. When you get to the other end of the court, that defensive possession is the most important possession of the game. The next offensive possession is the most important. Many times we think that the only possessions that matter in a close game are at the end of the game. Well, you know, that couldn't be farther from the truth. The first possession just as important as the last. If you give up an easy basket or an uncontested three and you lose by three, who's to say that first possession wasn't the game winner rather than the last shot made? And so that's the way you have to approach it. Each and every possession is important, and everyone must do their job. And if you're mentally tough and you stick to that, that helps in putting you in a position to possibly pull off an upset. We have to be patient. You're playing a team that they're good defensively, but their mindset is, they would rather you hurry up and shoot it so that they can go down and outscore you at the other end of the court. They're a very, very good offensive team. Their offensive average obviously is much higher than ours. So we don't want to get in a scoring battle with them. We need to be patient on offense. The problem with that is, if you hold the basketball, which I say we're going to be patient, but if you hold the basketball against them, they're not going to let you do that. They're going to come out. They're going to play the passing lanes. They're going to trap. Which spreads their defense out, but what that does, that forces you into attacking. If you just try to hold it against a half-court trap, which they'll go to, you're eventually going to turn it over. So when they get wide and high, then they force you to attack. And if you're aggressive and you can attack and get good shots or layups, well, then you take advantage of them being aggressive and trapping. And that's what we have to recognize. We have to be patient until they do that. And then once they do, we have to be able to make plays and take advantage of them gambling.
In your first matchup, in your opinion, how did that go? Of course, Pendleton Heights, I assume you tried to be patient from the start. I didn't call that game. I really don't know how it went. But how has that changed now in your second matchup with this team? Of course, you make substitutions. Pendleton Heights this year has been very good at the halftime break, making a substitution or two to stop a leading scorer or do X, Y, Z. What's the substitution from game one to game two?
Game one was one of those games. First of all, Greenfield shot it extremely well. I mean, Johnson was 3 for 3. His first three threes he scored. That's not been one of his strengths. Freeman hit his first 4 threes. So there's 7 threes that they had in the first half just by those two players. That doesn't count Mullins or Willard. We faced their press they press you with a 1-2-2, three-quarter, quarter, or four-quarter press. We attacked that press, and we broke that press. But we had four layups off of our press breaker, and we missed all four. So had you made those layups, and that's 8 points, I think that that would have given our team a different mindset. Rather than going down 10 or 11 or 12-0 like we were, you know, there's 8 points off of layups in the press breaker. And that's what I talked about, taking advantage of them gambling. They were gambling that they could turn us over in a press. Well, they didn't turn us over, but we didn't make the layups. So that's the same as turnover. That's a turnover. You didn't make a shot. So there's one key to that basketball game. The other one is, once we got down, they seemed to fuel themselves even further off of their hot shooting hand. And we kind of crawled into a shell because we were down. Now, I will say this, our team didn't quit. I mean, we were down at halftime, we were down and we had a running clock. Just like each and every game, with exception of maybe one half of basketball, I thought our team played very, very competitive and played hard and tried to battle Greenfield, even though they were down over 30 points.
How do you as a coach make sure they don't quit? For your seniors, this could potentially be your last game of the season. And, you know, depending on what the score is at halftime, how do you continue to motivate them? Do you think that'll be an issue whatsoever?
Well, once again, that if you're a competitor, you don't quit. And as a coach, you can talk about that, but a lot of that comes within each individual player. If they have the heart and the competitive nature to compete, that's not something you have to coach. You can bring about some of that through enthusiasm, through learning experiences, through leadership, not only from your coaching staff, but leadership from their players. That's usually more effective in getting players to play harder and compete, peer pressure, than it is from coaches. But it's all a part of it. But, you know, I know we're at the end of the season and we're probably one of our last coaches show. I don't know if you have one after sectional or not, but this team, you know, I want to praise this team, and I've tried to say this throughout this year. It's been a challenging year as far as wins and losses, but this team has faced a very, very challenging schedule this year, and their attitude has been outstanding. I think that their work ethic has improved throughout the year. We talked early in the year that we had some players that brought it every day. We had some players that hadn't bought into the fact that you prepare to win Monday through Thursday, not just turn it on Friday and Saturday night. Those players have come a long way and have improved. And when you lose, we've also talked about it's difficult to keep a positive attitude, to stick together, to have each other's backs. This team's done an outstanding job with that. I couldn't have asked for a better attitude from this team looking at our schedule and having a losing record. And sticking up for my players and having their backs, I've tried to say all year long, not that we have a bad schedule. No one did a poor job of planning our schedule, but it's been a freakish year that we have a schedule that it just so happens that the teams on our schedule are extremely talented. We knew that last year. We had a lot of teams that were very good. They had good sophomores and juniors. They were going to return the strength of their teams. We knew that. We knew it was going to be a challenge. Of our 14 losses this year, I looked back, there were only three teams of those 14 that are not state ranked. So that tells you that it has been a challenging schedule. In the Indiana Basketball Coaches Poll, which is one class only, they ranked the top 20 teams in the state. Seven of our 14 losses are ranked in the final IBCA poll of the year. I don't think that's ever happened in boys basketball history that I'm aware of, that I've been a part of. It may have in other years, but so yeah, I have my players' backs. They have given everything that they've had this year, and I'm proud of them. And another thing I want to say, I want to give praise to our loyal fans, not just basketball fans, but I've been around a long time, and I know who our loyal fans are. They don't only go to basketball, they go to spring sports, fall sports. And when I say a loyal fan, That's a person that's in the stands, whether you're winning or losing. Fair weather fans are there when our teams, our athletic teams, boys and girls, are winning, and they like to talk about we. But when they're losing, they switch that we to they. And your loyal fans that I'm happy to have in the stands again this year and every year that I've been here, those are fans that talk about we. They never go to they. And I want to thank those loyal fans that are there not only for us in basketball, but in all of the other sports here at Pendleton Heights.
Well, let's talk about the games that you just recently played, of course, Centerville. The past few games, I've noticed Pendleton Heights, they've had success guarding a team's number one, I'd say. Centerville's the only one that's a little in the air still. Of course, Shea Hollandonner was having some issues before the game, and he, you know, I believe that was his fourth game played that season, and I don't remember. Anyways, you held Shea Hollandonner to 7. His brother, Jace, had 20. You mentioned Jace is a very good freshman, and then in the game prior, Muncie Central, Jackson Johnson, the freshman, had 24. He averaged 10, but you held Taylor and Strange to close to their average, if not below. Is there any extra motivation or something going into this game about locking down a team's not only their number one, but people prior to that? I mean, in your first game versus Greenfield Central, Braylon Mullins averaged over 30. You held him to 25, but Michael Johnson had 21. Dallas Freeman had over his average with 14.
The challenge against Greenfield, their other players are very worthy of playing on the offensive end. Each player that steps onto the court for Greenfield can score. And we found that out in the first game. Mullins is such a unique player. I mean, when you're playing against someone that has an upper D1 scholarship and had an opportunity to go anywhere that he wanted, he had an opportunity to go to any upper D1 school that all of us have heard of that are basketball fans. I mean, the North Carolinas, the Dukes, the IUs, the Purdues, UConn, he ends up going there. That is unique in itself right there. And once again, I don't think there are people out there that are questioning whether he's good enough. I think he's proven to people, hey, this kid is worthy to go to UConn. Another step, and I know it's a new world, but he has an NIL contract that most of us would never even imagine would have ever been possible for an 18-year-old high school student. I don't want to throw out dollar figures, but it's unbelievable. It's more money than many people making a career. Let's just say that. So that's good for him, but it also tells you he's a very good basketball player. So to think that we're going to shut him down would be a lofty goal to put on any team. He's capable of scoring on almost every possession when he wants to. But what also makes him challenging is he's so unselfish, he gives the basketball up. So when teams try to focus on him, he gives it up, and he finds the open man. If you trap him, he's 6'6", and he can pass out of that trap. And he has the court awareness that he knows where that trap came from, and that's who he throws it to. So he's good all the way around and very unselfish, a great competitor, a player that I've enjoyed watching play before I got back in, and in watching film, I respect him. I've seen him play a lot, and I'll look forward to looking at him play at the next level. But all of their players are worthy. We have a defensive scheme that is different than the defensive scheme during the season. And our players believe in it. They're excited about it. And so that's what we will go with. If we need to, we'll try to make adjustments. We also have Cooper this time. We didn't have Cooper Sims. We've not mentioned that. That was that 4.5 game stretch where Cooper was out with an injury. So we look forward to having him back. We think that will be a benefit for us as well. So that's a positive on our end.
Well, one last question here for you, Coach. You talk about this a lot. I've heard other coaches bring this up. Are you guys peaking at the right time like you've so preached you wanted to do?
I think we are. And the reason I say that, I base that off of the way that we've practiced. I base that off of the way that we've been able to play, meaning execute. We've won 4 out of our last 6 games. I thought that the Muncie Central game got away from us. That's a game that I thought we should have won this year. That would have been 5 out of 6. But just talk about execution from the beginning of the season to now. And what I mean by execution, you know, I talk about that a lot. You know, each player has a job to do, whether it's an offense, whether it's a set, whatever it may be. I mean, the player that handles the basketball, the player that passes the basketball, then the player that sets the screen, and the player that makes a cut is just as important as the player that gets to take the shot. And that's what you talk about, execution. If you don't have all of those pieces together, then your sets and your offenses, no matter what your X's and O's are on paper, they're not very effective. And early in the season, we could run sets, XOs, but we didn't always execute them. When we did, we had success, but we weren't consistent. Down the stretch, we've been able to make adjustments. We've been able to run those sets and offenses with much more dependability than what we did, meaning that we had better execution. We're not perfect yet, but we're much better than we were. So that on the defensive end, when we want to play defense, when we're aggressive, we're a better defensive team than we were early in the year. So, yeah, I think that our team is playing the best basketball right now of this season, and that's what we were shooting for, and that's where we are. It's hard for me to believe that we're going into the month of March, but the season has gone by quickly. So we think we're where we need to be. We drew a tough opponent, but we're looking forward to that challenge.
Well, we're hoping you can pull off the upset. Thanks for joining me, Coach, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned for the rest of the Coach's Show. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by SMB Heating and Cooling, located at 6879 South State Road, 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined alongside freshman basketball player
Ryder Garner.
Now, okay, Ryder, thanks for joining me. It's not too often we interview freshmen here. Of course, we talk a lot about the varsity team, but this week I was struggling to get an interview, and I asked Coach Aldridge, the JV coach, and I said, you know, who's your next up-and-coming guy? Give me a few names, people that are going to be hot soon, and he gave me your name. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Of course, you're a JV player. How'd your season go?
It went pretty well. I improved a lot since last year, so... But I'm just happy I got to play this year. I love basketball. That's my number one.
So, sorry to cut you off. The change into a high school level, what's that like? I've heard a lot of coaches tell me it's a big change. Some have said it's a lot not as big. What has it been like for you as a player?
I mean, it's been a jump. It's a lot faster. But whenever, we play at a level of intensity at practice. So whenever it gets to game time, it's like you're ready for it. So,
how, as a JV player, how like tuned in are you with the varsity team? Because you know you're a part of the team. You're a Pendleton basketball player, but you know you don't dress for varsity. And of course, your season's over. You guys don't have a playoffs postseason. So, how like in tuned are you with the team? Do you practice with them? How does that really work?
Yeah, we practice with them every day, and we like scout for them for whenever they play their up and coming opponents. But like every day, we're always going against them in something.
So the JV coach, Coach Aldridge, he's a younger dude, at least compared to Coach Buck, who's been around here for a long time. What's it like to have both of those? Your main coach being Coach Aldridge, is it weird at all? What's that like?
For me, Coach Aldridge, he's like, honestly, he's like a brother to me. He really took me under his wing this season, and then Coach Buck, he's like just great overall coach, great guy. You know, they both know the games. All the coaches know the game really well. So I was happy to have them be my coach this year.
Who's your favorite player to play alongside, of course? You're the class of 2028. Of course, right now we're in the graduating class of 2025. You got a long way until you got the reins senior year. Who's your favorite player? Who's one of the best players in your class?
For my class, I love playing with Jace Washington. I mean, he can facilitate really well. So I like playing with him a lot.
And, I mean, what are you looking forward to as a freshman player? You got a long road ahead of you in high school basketball. Of course, the goal is to be a varsity starter one day. Are you super excited? Is that a discouraging road? What's that look like for a player?
No, I'm really excited. I mean, I'm excited for like all the work that I know I'm going to put in over the off season and stuff and just continue to get better and hopefully be on varsity next year.
Now, in the years, you know, Pendleton Heights for the varsity team, of course, we're going to talk about a lot on the coaches' show. Their next game is the sectional Greenfield Central. It's been a while since they've had some extra hardware in the case. You know, is that motivating for you at all as a younger player to like, this is what we're working towards and this is the goal?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been my goal to, as like a school, as a program, that we can win sectional, hopefully even more than that. We haven't had the best of luck recently, but It'll be starting to turn around.
Now, what's that like? Because I talked to Coach Buck today, actually, and he was telling me, you know, the players, they don't get discouraged even when it's a matchup like Greenfield Central, a top-ranked team in the state. What's that like on the JV side of things? Because, of course, you know, you're playing still the same schools that the varsity team plays, of course, and they had a very tough schedule this year. So it hasn't been easy on you guys either. Has your team been discouraged or felt very counted out at any point this season and recovered from that?
I mean, we had a really rough game towards the middle of the season. New Powell, we lost by a decent amount. But the next practice, we came back with a fire that we haven't had that in the whole entire season. And from then on, we played really well for the rest of the year. So,
well, like I said when I started this interview, I texted Coach Aldridge. I asked him, who's the next up-and-coming guy? So everyone watch out for Ryder Gardner. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Zahn.
All right, stay tuned for the rest of the coaches' show. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, Retirement Planning, Risk Management, and Legacy Planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001 or online talk to feg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
This 91.7 WEEM program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to the closing segment of this coach's show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Mr. Watson.
Now, Mr. Watson, we've had a great coach's show. We had some long interviews. When I talked to Coach Buck today, I really wanted to like dig deep. You know, you're 0-3. You finally get that first win, and it's all mental at that point. That's so much of what sports is, and that's why I talked to him for so long. I think it was an 18-minute interview. He's a coach. I believe he's coached like 20-some years.
Yeah.
He knows ball. I just want to get in the mind of him a little. Hope you guys enjoyed that. But we're going to take a look at the next few games for both these basketball teams. So starting with the girls, they are going to play at Hamilton Southeastern. That will be tomorrow, 7:30, 7:15 pregame show if you want to listen here on 91.7 WEEM. But they're going to play Hamilton Southeastern, 10-0. That's rough.
Yeah. Look, and playing against a team like that, it can be daunting, but it can also be exciting. You know, it's one of those things where you want to make sure that your team is balanced in the fact that we are playing a really good team. We have to be our best, but we're never out of a game. That's the fun of playing in Indiana. And this Pendleton Heights team has looked really strong so far. And it's not unheard of. It's not impossible for them to go walk in there, play their game, play well early, and go and close it out late.
I think if you're looking at HSC, their leader in points per game is Michaela Mukulewski, 23.8 points per game. That's, you know, that's obviously going to be your team's leading scorer, but right behind her is Kayla Sittum with 11. You can't just shut down Michaela. You're going to have to deal with Sittum after that. But I think for them, it's just shutting down Mikayla. I say you can't do that because, I mean, this game isn't going to end Pendleton Heights winning and shutting them out. That's just basketball. But focus on the leading scorer and then deal with the others as you must.
Yeah, and while this might sound simple, is I mean, one of the most important parts of high school and of college basketball is how can you get the other team into foul trouble and how can you stay out of foul trouble? And one of the best ways to do that is to have an elite player in the front court. And so if you can really start to focus on, can we attack this person offensively and can we make sure to stay smart defensively, that's going to be how you're able to keep people on their heels.
Yeah, and I think that's just a lot of it's girls basketball. You know, you'd be surprised how physical it is. Just like going there, watching a game, I would have never expected when, like, you know, when I was a freshman, I had never seen a girls basketball high school game. Now they are so physical. There's constantly elbows being thrown, and that's just how it is. These are dominant players that want to win games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next up for the girls at the 12th, they will play versus Delta at home. Delta's a tough team to play, sitting at 6-3. I don't think that's exactly where they want to be, but the girls have had a similar season. It's just, you know, you take every game on the chin as you can, and you're just looking to win as many as you can. But we're going to switch over, go to the guys. So sitting at a 1-3 record doesn't sound good. That's just not who they are. I've said it before. I'll say it again. They will play the 13th at Mount Vernon, 7:30. Tip-off, 7:15 pregame show. So Mount Vernon, what do you call that rivalry? What is that?
That's the State Road 67 Showdown.
State Road 67 Showdown. Mount Vernon sits at 3-1. They're a very tough team. They just coming off a loss off of Fishers, 46-77. That's actually a big loss. That'll swing the tide of things a little bit, but that's going to be an exciting game. Always a lot of tensions when you play Mount Vernon.
Yeah, and school rivals. The schools are only, 5-10 minutes apart. You've been playing the same guys or girls since you were young, and it can be really exciting to get to do that, and after a big win for Pendleton, having a little bit of time off to really ride the wave in practice is huge.
Yeah, leading for scoring for Mount Vernon is Luke Ertl, former quarterback for them, averages 19 per game. That's going to be a tough team to shut down, but I'm going to be pretty excited. Playing in Mount Vernon is daunting in its own, but I mean, it's your rivalry game. You got to get excited for that. And after that, on the 17th, the boys team will play Garin Catholic. Now, another very daunting one, that one, tip-off at 7:30, 7:15 pregame show right here on 91.7 WEEM. Garin Catholic sits at a nice 4-0 record, led by, it looks like, Bryson Cardinal. I believe he's 6'8". He can shoot the three. He can go in the paint. He can do whatever he wants, pretty much. Averages a lot of points per game, 24.5 to be exact, and again, another daunting task.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get a lot of players like that in high school. We're starting to see them come out of the woodwork a little bit more, starting to see bigger guys develop a shooting strip, when they're younger. But those are the type of guys you want to go see in person when you can, and that's going to be a really fun thing to watch.
Averages 11.5 rebounds per game, so double-double for Bryson Cardinal. What a season he's been having. Had over 30 points multiple times. Sitting at 4-0, Garin Catholic, that's going to be one of the toughest teams in the state. I believe it's top five. This Pendleton Heights team has had, no free spaces, if you would. No games where it's like, that's a give me. And, I mean, those will come along the season, but that's pretty rough for your team. Coach Buck loves it, though.
And you bring up the name Bryson Cardinal. I just want to see here. So back in the early 2000s, there was a big man for Purdue who could shoot the three named Brian Cardinal. Do you know if this is his son? Yeah, that would make sense then. Okay, I was like, I'm pretty sure he went to Garin, but yeah, that is no surprise for those stat lines. Then his father was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you're 26. How do you know that? Like,
I'm 24, actually. Brian Cardinal, I think, was the 12th or 13th man on the 2011 Mavs team that won it all. You might have to check me on that, but I know he was on the Mavericks in the late 2010 or late 2000s, early 2010s.
This coaching show is filled with a lot of fun facts today. This is exciting.
Yeah, and whenever you can catch a guy whose dad played either when you were young or like before, like those are cool to see. That it's kind of fun to see how that player is going to develop compared to their parents.
Yeah, I mean, he knows what he needs to do. His dad's done it before, so it's pretty exciting. That Garin Catholic game, that's going to be a fun one. Of course, like I said, it is on the 17th, and stay tuned for that. Like I said, we will be broadcasting those along with pretty much all Pendleton Heights girls and boys basketball games. So stay tuned for that. But for Zion Palmieri,
I'm Mr. Watson.
And thanks to you guys for joining us, whether you listen for the whole coaches show or just a little bit. It means the most to me. And yeah, thanks to our sponsors and everyone who makes this possible. You are listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Couture Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Only at the DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic. Located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at CowanChiropractic.com.
Did you know Indiana has a critical shortage of high school referees?
It's causing our games to be canceled or understaffed, and we need your help. I'm Gru Swim from Fishers High School.
And I'm Cooper Allen from Shenandoah High School. We need you so we can keep playing our favorite sports.
So our opportunities to learn aren't limited.
So our experience in high school sports is everything it should be.
With your help, we can make sure we have enough officials for every game.
And student athletes around the state always have the chance to grow through high school sports.
Are you game? Sign up as a high school official in your community today.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. High school sports can't happen without high school officials. Help us fill an urgent need in our state so games aren't canceled or understaffed. Visit IHSAA.org to become an official today. This is protecting high school sports. This is serving your community. This is your IHSAA.
Thank you for tuning into the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.